says in John, the Gospel of John, that the Father looks, he seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. And when he finds them, he presences himself there. And that's what happened tonight. And Father, we just thank you so much that you love seeking hearts, God. You know, I was thinking of the church in China. They don't have amazing music ministries and bands and sound systems and all of that. They just meet with the living God. You know, just week after week, they just love to be together and to meet with the living God. And that's what God's looking for, because he's drawing our hearts. And such a sense tonight in that we just thank you guys so much for leading worship. And Roz has never done it before. And just the willingness of hearts. And I just felt like the Lord saying, you know, he just loves people to just love his presence more than all the bells and whistles and all the stuff that goes around the church. And he's drawing people to himself. And as he finds people who love his presence and love him, then he creates a habitation for his presence. And I really believe that that's what we are and that's what we're called to be. And right now, this church looks like a little stump, you know. It looks like, gosh, the pruning's been quite severe. There's not a huge amount left. And you can look at a stump when you've pruned a rose bush and you can think, is there ever going to be life in that again at the beginning of the summer? But you know, for the discerning gardener, he knows that there's life in that stump. And I look around at this group of people and I just say, thank you, Jesus. There's life in the stump, in this little stump that's left. We're so grateful for you, God. We're grateful that you've actually been chopping branches off, God. Some people just left feeling that they wanted to leave, but some of them, God, you were just chopping off branches that weren't bearing fruit. And others, you said, I want this branch to bear more fruit. I want this stump to bear more fruit. And so he's making us one. And we're just so grateful, God. We're so grateful for what you're doing right now. And as I was praying this week, I just felt like the Lord was saying, you know, he's just looking for worshipers, because that's the key. That is the absolute key to his presence. It's the key for everything. Because I was thinking today, you know, can you imagine what it was like living with Jesus? You know, just imagine it. Taking a shower with him. I don't know if they took showers, but maybe they washed in Galilee. I don't know. They washed together. They ate together. They slept together. They saw him with every possible emotion. They lived in his presence. And then Jesus said, but it's better for you that I go away. Because, you know, they were like, he kept on saying that he was going away, and they kept on saying, but you can't go away. What would we do without you? And he says, it's better for you if I go away. Because if I go, I'm going to send my spirit. And then it won't be just me, Jesus, walking around Galilee. It's going to be my spirit in millions of little Christs all over the earth. It's the most amazing, incredible plan of God. And the enemy thought when Jesus died on the cross that he'd wiped him out. And the angels must have been rejoicing and saying, now we know the plan. Because Jesus is going to be raised from the dead. And then he's going to share his spirit with everybody who loves him and who loves his presence. And I just think it's the most awesome thing. And God just said to me, you know, we're in such a warfare, guys. Some of the branches that have been lopped off, the enemy came and took them away, I think. But, you know, we're in a battle every day of our lives. And I felt like Bill Johnson said a very interesting thing. He said, if you want a road map for the presence of God, to encounter God, just turn to Psalm 100. So let's just turn to Psalm 100. And if you haven't got your Bible, just listen. It's fine. He says, shout for joy. This is I don't even know if it's David. It sounds like David. doesn't say it's David, but shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And then he gives us this roadmap to his presence. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And we were singing that tonight. And I just thought, wow, because, you know, that was Jehoshaphat's war cry. That was the cry of the army of God. All they sang was, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And that built their faith. And God gave them a victory, an enormous, amazing victory. You all know the story, don't you, in 2 Chronicles 20. But that is just amazing that this army of Israel was surrounded. Jehoshaphat, the king, they were surrounded by alien forces. Terrible situation. He fasted, he prayed, he got the people together, and he cried out to God. And he said, you know, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And I often pray like that. God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And as we start to do that, God starts to change the circumstances. He just starts to move in the spiritual realm and bring about different things, you know, amazing things. And so all the army did was march. He gave them a strategy. He said, you're not even going to have to fight this battle. And I believe he's saying that to some of us tonight. You don't have to fight this battle that you're going through right now. All you need to do is trust me and stand back and see the glory, my salvation. And so that's what happened. They sang, the Lord is good, and the enemies devoured each other. And by the time the Israelites got there was all the spoils and all the bodies lying about. And I mean, that is the most incredible story. I can't understand why Hollywood hasn't made a movie out of it, you know. It's just an amazing story. But the Lord is saying to us that's our strategy. And you know, one of the things that the enemy does continually, and we all know this, but we forget, is that he's continually coming to us to say, did God really say? You know, is God really strong enough? Because what happens is the enemy appears so huge and looming in our lives. And we've always got a choice. Every minute of the day, we've got a choice. Am I going to believe the enemy, what he's saying about my health, or my finances, or this relationship, or this situation, or my job situation? Or am I going to believe what God says? And when I start to believe what God says, and I go to his word, and I start to praise him, the enemy has to flee. He hates worship. And I believe that's why he guns after worship leaders. The worship teams are always the ones under the biggest attack. Because the enemy hates worship. And guys, what we're doing once a month in these burns is the most significant thing. I don't know if you realize how amazingly significant it is that we are creating a habitation for the Lord's presence in this place. And, you know, it's not just, oh, we've got to endure another burn, but it's like we are creating a habitation for the Lord where he can come and start to move. Not only in the spiritual realm, but in our lives, in the lives of people who come in here, things start to happen. I think what happens is we become so cerebral and so kind of in Greek thinking, you know, where we feel like everything's separate. But the way that God writes in Hebrew, in the New Testament, is we are integrated beings. We are mind, spirit, soul, and body. And so you can't separate. And what we've got to learn to do, I really believe tonight the Lord's saying we've got to learn to move in the spirit and to develop our spirit man so that we begin to think like God. And so when something dreadful happens, it's not like, what are we going to do? What panic. But it's like, God, what are you going to do about this? Don't you love that kind of raw faith? God loves it. When he sees that faith, he's attracted to it immediately. He's attracted to praise. He's attracted to worship. He's attracted to thanksgiving. And there's this amazing passage that I've also been kind of living with all week. In 1 Thessalonians 5, and you know it. It's amazing. Be joyful always. Church, be joyful always. We've got so much to give thanks for. Amazing. We've got so much to give thanks for. Just amazing. Pray continually. This is just a few points that Paul tells us. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And you know, we run around saying, what's God's will? What do I need to do? What should I be doing here? What's God's will? And the Lord says, it's very simple. If you start to do what I ask you to do, which is rejoice always, no matter what's going on, rejoice whatever is happening around you, and you pray continually, just keep on, like it says in Philippians, keep on making your requests known to God. Don't be anxious about anything. Make your requests known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So you can continue to rejoice. And our unsaved neighbors say, what's going on with you? You're so cheerful and everything terrible is happening around you, but you manage to maintain your joy. Joy is so powerful. And pray continue and give thanks in all circumstances. So I want you right now to just find somebody and tell them 5 or 6 things right now, immediately, you can thank God for, and then thank God together for those things. And if you've got to think too hard, then Holy Spirit, come and do something in our hearts. Did you find some stuff to thank God for? Do you know that 1 year I resolved that we'd have a little notepad in the kitchen, and for the whole family, we wrote down every day things to be thankful for. It was amazing. It was a kind of diary of God's goodness. And I recommend you do that because, you know, we live in a grumpy old society and everybody's grouchy and grumpy and complaining about the weather and everything else. And we, you know, are meant to be like lights in the darkness, just, you know, sharing the fragrance of Jesus. And I believe a lot of it is through thanksgiving. And, you know, I love Pollyanna. I read Pollyanna when I was a kid, but she just turned every situation and she played the glad game, which was actually a Christian thing. She just always found something to be glad about. And I just recommend that to you guys, that by next Friday we'll all come in beaming because we're so grateful to God because he's amazing. And, you know, there's an incredible scripture in 1 Timothy 4, and it's quite complicated, and I don't know that I understand it all, but there's a bit here which says, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. That is an awesome scripture. And I'm wondering, with women, with your unbelieving husbands, give thanks for your husband with prayer. Receive him with thanksgiving. He's consecrated by your life and by your thanksgiving. So if we can take this on board, this thanksgiving, it's the entry into the Lord's presence. And then from there on, we give him praise. We start to worship him. And it's nothing to do with the music. It's nothing to do with whether I like the song. You know, I mean, what we're created for is to worship God. Do you recognize that? That you weren't created on this earth to do anything else. I mean, that's everything else is secondary. What we're created for is to, the Westminster Confession says, worship God and enjoy him forever. God actually wants us to enjoy him. Isn't that amazing? We're meant to enjoy God because he's crazy about us. And we've got so much to be thankful for. And, you know, when we know who we are in Christ and who he is, and when we read his word and get revelation about who he is and who we are, how can we ever not rejoice? It just puts everything into perspective. And so what we're doing when we're thanking God is realigning our hearts with His. And I want to encourage you to do that this week. No matter what goes on around you, you realign, you know, whoever you're going to be in your dorm with, Joelle. Whatever happens, you realign your heart with God and say, right now, I believe you are good. It doesn't look like it's right now, but you are good. You are bigger than the circumstances. I believe you, God. I believe you. And then His presence comes, and then He changes things. He really does. I believe that He has angels waiting, you know, waiting for His people to start thanking Him and giving Him and giving thanks and praise, because there's some amazing scriptures. Am I going on too long? You don't want to go home yet, do you guys? You can't. I'm not letting you go. But amazing passage in Psalm 149. Because you see, the enemy hates worship. And in Psalm 149, it's amazing passage. It says, may the praise of God, this is us, be in our mouths and a double-edged sword in our hands, to inflict vengeance on the nation and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all His saints. You know, so often we try to do warfare against principalities and powers out there. You know, we take authority over a strong man over a city or something. I believe that the principalities and powers that the Lord's giving us the faith for, and the power and the authority to overcome, are those in our heads. The battle is in our minds every minute of the day. And so the Lord says, but it's the worship on our tongues, the high praises of God in our mouths, and a double-edged sword in our hands. What's your sword, guys? The Word. And so with the praise and the worship, we are absolutely bound to be victorious. We have to. It's the Word of God. In Psalm 8, it says, through the mouths of little children, He has declared, where is it? From the lips of children and infants, even in these little ones, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Praise in our mouths is so powerful. I don't think we realize that. Otherwise, we'd be doing it all the time. It's always this, you know, what am I going to believe, the enemy or the Lord and the Word? And it brings us into agreement with God. As soon as we start praising Him, thanking Him, and agreeing with Him, it brings us into agreement with Him. When we agree with the devil, we give him access into our lives, guys. It's hugely important. It's what comes out of our mouths. Because when we agree with the devil and we complain, grumble, criticize, judge, whatever, we are giving, it's the devil's language. He says, and he's attracted. So the Holy Spirit's attracted to us when we're in praise and worship and thanksgiving. The enemy's attracted to us when we're speaking negatively, gossiping about people, saying, you know, judging people. When any of that comes out of our mouths, gives access to the enemy. Isn't that incredible? So whatever you agree with, you empower. That's powerful. And, you know, we need to really watch our language so much, because, you know, we know that there is power in the tongue, out of the mouth, etc. And, it's a sacrifice, you know. It's a sacrifice of praise. And I want to encourage you guys, because I know on a Friday night you come here and you've worked all week and it's tough and you're thinking, and I can imagine. You probably think, I'd rather go to the pub or go to bed or watch my favorite TV program or whatever. But, you know, God loves sacrifice. There's an amazing song that young people are singing now. It's, you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. And that's all He wants, is our lives, because He says in Romans, this our acceptable worship is when we offer our bodies to Him as living sacrifices. That is worship. That's worship. As John Bevere says, worship's not a slow song. It's lives that are laid down for him. So when we come to worship him, I believe when you come on a Friday night, God is so happy with you, apart from us. But God really, because he knows it's a sacrifice. And when we stay through the night at a burn, I think that's, Fiona and I were praying the other day, we really felt it was like the woman with the alabaster flask. She just came and gave everything to God, to Jesus. That was her inheritance. We haven't a clue how much it was. It could have been £500,000. It was her inheritance. Imagine selling a house in London and giving the whole lot, just buying something and breaking it and giving it, laying it at the foot of Jesus. It's incredible, and he loved the sacrifice. Everyone else was offended by it. The religious spirits got angry, you know. How can he waste when there's poor out there? They always say that, the religious spirits. But Jesus loved it. And the fragrance of the sacrifice went all over the place. It touched everybody, covered Jesus. And I believe that God is saying the sacrifice, you know, when we come to a burn, we sacrifice energy, time, money, sleep, food. And it's hugely costly to us, but God loves it. And it attracts the presence. It attracts him. He loves to be with people who love to hang out with him and who are making a sacrifice. Because in Hebrews, it says 13:15, it speaks about a sacrifice of praise, which is acceptable. Are you okay? You're not bored, going to sleep? No? 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Isn't that amazing? And so sacrifice is spoken of so much, especially in the Old Testament, in the New Testament as well. Jesus was sacrifice. And so as we sacrifice, the presence of God draws near, the enemy flees. I mean, can you lose? It's amazing. And praise creates a throne for the Lord. He's enthroned. It says in the New King James, he's enthroned upon the praises of Israel. He's enthroned upon the praises. As soon as we start to praise God, and that doesn't mean just singing the songs and going through the motions because I'm here and I have to do it, but it's from the heart. He comes. He's enthroned. That's where he is. And guys, if we can get this, if we can see, okay, we're not just a funny little group of people. We're a lean, mean fighting machine that the Lord is bringing together. We're fighting for the heart of the nation, and we're going to do it through attracting his presence, loving him, worshiping him, and then beginning to see him do awesome things out there in the streets as well as in here. Yes? So God, just stand up, will you? We just thank you so much, Father, for the amazing, amazing, amazing plan and the fact that you came tonight, God, with us funny little bunch of people. God, you came. You came. It's amazing that you came. And God, you're looking for are hearts that are open to you and receptive and loving. Just turning our eyes upon you. I remember Bill Johnson saying, you know, when we sacrifice, when we worship God in the middle of a difficult circumstance, God sends his angels. Because the angels are always in the presence of God. They don't ever go through any of the stuff that we go through. And God says, but you, these guys, he calls them and says, come, look at these guys. Look at this person. Look at Kenrick. His dad died just a couple of weeks ago, and there he is worshiping God. And Elaine's going through difficulties, and she's worshiping God. God loves it. Amen. He loves it, and so he comes. And so, God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for all these amazing words that have been given to us about being a handful of people who've brought changes to society, a revival core with a right heart, turning their lives of worship into the salvation of the masses. God, we thank you that through the ministry of praise, worship, and tears, we contend for the release of multitudes through the gate, and especially young people, God. And James Maloney also said in 2006, a warfare mantle is upon this church. It's a church of dominion, expectation, anticipation. You're not going to give up or quit. No matter how small we get, we're not going to quit. You're going to be warring against any legalistic religious spirit with freedom and joy. You will be holy before God, but you will also be free. You will be a people of enjoyment and celebration, a church of prayer, of praise, of purpose, and a church that knows how to party and celebrate God. Yes. And God is saying that the greatest weaponry of this church is your praise, your worship, your disarming love, your infectious faith and zeal. And God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Ha ha. And Chuck Pierce says, this isn't about us, this is generally, when we worship, we see a manifestation of God's justice into the iniquitous patterns on earth. And the way we can be victorious in this season is to worship Jehovah God like we've never worshipped him before, people. So hallelujah, Jesus. We just turn our hearts of praise and worship and thanksgiving to you right now. Lord God, you are good. You are good. And your love endures. Your love endures forever. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your mercies are new every morning. We give you glory, my God. We give you glory. Praise you, Jesus. You are mighty, mighty God, King of kings, Lord of lords. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I ask you tonight to restore to us the joy of our salvation. We ask you for that. We ask you for a revelation, a fresh revelation of our salvation, God. That we won't be old hat. It won't be like, oh, I got saved 20 years ago. Boring, boring. But God, we'd have a revelation of what you've saved us from, God. You've saved us from the pit of hell. You've placed your spirit on the inside of us as a down payment of what we're going to experience in glory one day. God, you're awesome. You are awesome. You chose us. God, you chose us. From before the beginning of time, you chose each one of us. Ha ha. Amazing, amazing. And you've got the most incredible destiny for every one of us, God. Incredible destiny. The Lord says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. Ha ha. We thank you, God. We just affirm him now. Just affirm right now. Yes, God, your destiny for my life is amazing. Oh. The plans that you have for me are good, not evil, to give me a future and a hope. Declare it. Declare it to principalities and powers. They hate it. Oh. And just a reminder that praying in tongues is one of our most powerful weapons. It builds us up in our most holy faith.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, so much for Dot and for this word that is truth to our life, Father. Bless you, Jesus. Just want to say, and I'm sure Dot will agree with this, Jesus said in John chapter 15, he says, if you love me, you will obey me. Obedience comes out of love. It's not some slavish thing. And in the same way, sacrifice must always come out of love. The moment sacrifice becomes a task and a work we've got to do to attract the presence of God, the heart's completely wrong. We're bargaining with God. The sacrifice has already happened. Jesus did that. Now we sacrifice out of love for him. We come to give our time out of love. We come to give out of love. Our lover has drawn our hearts, and that's all we've got. We can give him everything we could possibly give him. Never, ever do we have to sacrifice out of duty or out of religion, which says God will be disappointed if you don't sacrifice. Do you know, I want to say something to my own detriment, but even if you come for 5 minutes next Friday night, God loves you. You come and give 5 minutes of absolute love and adoration. God loves you the same as someone who stays for 24 hours. No different. It's got to be love always, guys. Always love. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Could you take your seats, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I sent you a text in the middle of the night. I was having a great time with the Lord in the night. And I simply referred to the scripture where Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say I am? Matthew 15. And the Spirit is asking us the same question. Who do you say I am? Because whoever you say I am is what I will be to you. If I'm angry God, I will be that to you. If you see me as a harsh taskmaster, you will always feel you can never meet my expectation. But if you see me as the Savior who loves you, you will always feel freedom to come into my presence. There's an opportunity coming now to know him. We're starting Freedom in Christ next Tuesday at the Upper Room. And guys, that's 12 weeks coming every Tuesday, giving yourself so that you can know him and he can know you and you can know what he has done for you. It's a brilliant time. At the end of it, each one goes individually with somebody who will take you through the steps to freedom. You know, it's hard to go through the steps when you don't have the basic foundation in your life of what the Word of God says and who Jesus is and what he has done for you. And when we correctly discern who he is, when he asks you the question, who do you say I am? Then you will understand why he sets you free. You will understand why you can live in complete security forever. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for your word to us tonight. Thank you for Dot's amazing life. Because what she gives us comes out of her life, her heart for you, her deep desire for you, Jesus. I thank you for her worshiping heart that she loves to give you. I thank you so much. Thank you for all that she is. I thank you, Jesus, that she sows life into us because it's been formed in her. And I thank you so much for that. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Amen.